Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
So from electricity prices that, as we've just learnt, are forcing families now to choose between light and food, to a looming VAT hike that is threatening to stretch budgets even further, South Africans, I don't need to tell you, are under extreme financial pressure. But amid the chaos, a surprising trend is emerging. Younger people are now prioritising home ownership over marriage, increasingly choose to co-buy property with friends or family. Dubbed houses before spouses, it's part an economic strategy, I guess, part a cultural shift. And what's behind all of this then? Well, we're going to talk to Grant Smee, who's Chief Executive Officer of Only Realty Property Group. He's been on our program many times before to explain what's really driving this new wave. And I guess the best way to put it, perhaps, is property pragmatism. So, Grant, good evening to you. Do you think this is a shift that we're seeing towards a new financial strategy, or maybe just a symptom of economic survivalism, given that for individuals and young individuals, purchasing property is often out of their reach?
Yeah, evening, Jeremy. I think the sort of move is actually a combination of both the opportunity to invest in an asset, but then also the economic reality that most South Africans are facing, which really difficult to get on the property ladder and be able to afford your own property. And it's a big shift from the sort of pre-COVID years of people moving away from buying and looking to rent, so they had flexibility. I think over the years, individuals have realized that it's more important to invest in an asset than not.
Having said that, though, if you're going to co-buy with a friend or even a sibling, it might solve the affordability side of the equation, but surely that could create a little more risk in the long term and maybe even the potential for conflict.
Absolutely. So I think it's important that people enter into these sort of arrangements eyes wide open and well informed, that it's although you may be choosing property over a marriage, it's similar to a marriage where you are tied into a contract and you dictated by the terms of that contract during the entire relationship. And it's important that you realize that you can't just sell an asset that somebody else co-owner in, and that your absolute flexibility and decision making ability relates to that party as well.
So what I'm hearing you say is that you cannot go into an arrangement like this based simply on trust, that we've got this rise then of co-ownership agreement. How does one go about protecting oneself legally then?
So I think it's important to have sort of a good legal professional on your side, and that person can draft a very good agreement which dictates a few things, which is how a decision is made, how things dealt with when there's a tie-breaking decision making, how do you exit the contract, how do you deal with maintenance or costs related to the property, as well as when you want to exit or the other party wants to exit, how's that dealt with and how's the property valued. It needs to dictate every sort of stage of the relationship, as well as potential exit strategies and decisions that might change over time.
Grant, given that interest rates are still high relatively and inflation is eating away at so many people's income, is buying a property even a good idea right now, particularly for young people? You know, I'm talking under the age of 35 maybe.
You know, I think it's never a bad time to buy a property. I think it's the type of property you buy and considering your specific circumstances. So it's easy to look at a section title complex and just go and buy that in that building. You need to realize the additional costs of ownership and how that might look. So maybe from a co-ownership point of view, you might want to look at a freestanding home where there's not levies and you can take care of maintenance on your own without worrying about, as an example, special levies. So I think it's important on a case-by-case basis to analyze the property you're entering into and understand the costs of owning the property, the ongoing costs of financing that property, as well as the risks that come with ownership. But I certainly think it's always a good idea to have an asset in your name in some way, shape or form.
And Grant, there's an interesting demographic nugget here. There's been a surge in property purchase, and I think in the province of Gauteng, among women. What makes this particular group perhaps a key driver of the trend that you've just outlined?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. A lot of the bond origination companies have come out with this stat, and I'm not quite sure where it's driven from. I think there has been an increase in the economic activity from the specific group, individual women, and I think also the nature of it has been in the past that a lot of that group, single ladies, have bought only when they've entered into marriages. So I think it's a very clear indication that individuals are seeing the opportunity in owning an asset and taking advantage of that case versus entering into a marriage, like we said.
Which I guess begs the question, banks, agents, and even developers, do you think they are adapting fast enough to serve this changing demographic shift?
Look, there's been certainly a conversation over the last 18 months around this specific demographic that's buying into it. So I think there is a focus. Are they shifting fast enough? I don't think the property market can ever shift fast enough to keep up with sort of the changing trends, but they're certainly trying. You know, banks have very much focused on first-time buyers, not specifically women, but first-time buyers, and they're very interested in getting into that market. Whereas developers do certainly, or the better developers at least, focus on the female sort of taste and opinion of properties, because ultimately, whether you're in a relationship or not, I think it's the lady properties that catch the ladies' eye versus the male sort of practicality.
I want to come back to the co-ownership issue in just a moment, but just on a broader canvas, we've been talking about the changing view of property use. So more people are buying to maybe rent out or to co-live or even fractionally own. Do you think against that backdrop, traditional home ownership, as per the kind of standard definition, is becoming obsolete?
Yeah, I think so. We've seen a rise of micro apartments, which sort of indicates a similar sort of trend, cheap apartments for home ownership. And then these multifamily living student lets have been a big buzzword and sort of sits in the same space. So I think we are seeing a fundamental shift away from traditional ownership, where you're owning large properties and single family homes are sort of under pressure. So it is a shift. But I think, again, it speaks to the nature of the economy, high interest rates and affordability, which is under pressure. And also, I mean, salaries, we've got to realize, aren't increasing at the same pace as inflation or, in fact, anywhere near.
And just a quick one, to anyone listening right now who is considering buying property with either a friend or a sibling, what's the one thing they need to sort out before signing anything?
So, I mean, just the terms of the contract, 100% terms of the contract, making sure that those terms dictate and manage that relationship. It's like entering into marriage with a prenuptial agreement. You need to have that ready long before, clear communication with that person on your intentions and their intentions, so you don't end up in effectively a failed property marriage.
And don't let emotion cloud the process. Grant Smee, thank you very much indeed. I'm sure we'll talk again. Chief Executive Officer of Only Realty Property Group. Always appreciate the insight. Thank you so much.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.